Please pray with me. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Have mercy on us. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our hope, our rock, our love, and our Redeemer. Amen. As a working woman, as a newly widowed single mom, people ask me, Aisha, how do you do it? How do you do full-time ministry and care for your family? Well, I have a confession. My mother is my home manager. She is the one who gives gifts so freely to our home. Most of the time, I do my own laundry, but there are days when I need help, and I'm not ashamed to say it. One of the gifts that my mother offers is cooking for our family. She is the queen of whipping up bacon and homemade pancakes at the drop of a dime. She's the queen of grabbing a recipe offline and throwing her little twist on it. With Thanksgiving right around the corner, she is already getting her ingredients together. Some of her signature recipes call for cheese and lots of butter and eggs. Some of her other recipes call for oysters and breadcrumbs. Others call for some of her hidden spices that will go on the turkey and on the salmon. And no, you can't come over this time, but we'll make arrangements when you can come visit. What she will really be doing next week is cooking up a meal that is filled with hospitality and love. It'll be filled with the sweet aroma of peace that will fill the air. And there'll be all-around goodness that will fill all of our bellies and our souls. In our Old Testament reading today, God has cooked up a miracle, and the ingredients for this recipe include a bold prophet, a poor and destitute widow, and barely enough dry goods to pull the whole thing off. In 1 Kings 17, we are introduced to the prophet Elijah. There's trouble in the land as the children of Israel are under the rule of a wicked king named Ahab and his equally troublesome wife, Jezebel. There was this issue of idolatry and them wanting to worship the Canaanite storm god, Baal. God had put a famine in the land, no rain for about 3 years. But God also sustained the prophet by calling on the ravens to feed him and placing him at the Wadi Cherith to have his fill of drink. But God was up to something miraculous and caused the waters to dry up. And so God sent Elijah to Zarephath in Sidon, the hometown of his enemy Jezebel. God commanded Elijah to ask for provision in the most unlikely places with boldness. Elijah came to the widow and made a request for a bite to eat. Perhaps he couldn't tell. Maybe he didn't catch all the nuances, but she was broke. She was a single mom. She had just enough material to make a final meal as she prepared to die alongside of her child. But Elijah had a word of hope for this woman. He asked her to share, and with it, he shared the promise that she and her child could live. Ask, share, live, repeat. Elijah asked at God's leading this request for a little bite to eat. The woman shared with probably with fear and trembling. But God was faithful and gave them enough for their daily bread. I imagine that every time she went to go make a little cake and get a little meal and get a little oil, that she saw that it did not run out, Every time she made something to eat for herself and the prophet and her son, there was more for the next day. Ask, share, live, repeat. This type of boldness to ask and the courage to trust, it feels like a really tall order. I can only imagine the fear of the widow on the receiving end of that ask. But that divine exchange, it changed her life. She was literally on the brink of death. She thought her life was going to come to an end, but it was in the sharing, it was in the offering that she received life for herself, and for her child, and for her household. It was in the sharing that she was able to witness the miracle-working power of God. It was in the sharing that she was able to deepen her faith and to know that when thus saith the Lord happens, that God's words are true. With fear and trembling, she took the little bit that she had, and God took it and mixed it with trust and a willing heart and baked up a miracle that sustained them. Without realizing it, she was participating in the miraculous work of God. And in this day and age, we serve a God who is still cooking up miracles. And we serve a God who invites us to participate in those miracles. And like a sous chef in God's kitchen, God is asking us to just offer a portion of our gifts. And like a master chef, God takes what we have and offers back miracles filled with hope and renewal and justice and peace. The question for us today is, how will we respond when God asks us to share? Will we share, or will we seize up? Now, maybe I'm the only one who does the seize up. Maybe that's a northern thing. Maybe that's a Philly thing. I don't know. But when I get an ask or a request, I have this natural seizing up. My hands kind of clench and my shoulders get tight and I kind of cock my head to the side and I do a half grin. I'm like, that sounds really great what you're asking me to do. I really, really want to participate in that. That sounds awesome. You see, what happens with the seize up is that your entire body is screaming, are you kidding me? God, what are you asking of me? I don't have time for that. That's not in my schedule. It's definitely not in the budget. And it wasn't on my agenda because I was going on a nice vacation. But when we hear this divine request, this ask to participate in the miraculous movement of God, we can offer a posture of seizing up, or we can offer a posture of sharing. It's a little bit different. You see, when you're in a posture of sharing, you relax. You breathe deep, shoulders back, chin up, chest out, hands in an open position. This posture of sharing is a posture of trust and hope and awe and wonder. This posture of sharing is a posture of gratitude. This posture of sharing is a posture of holy expectation and humble stewardship. You see, we live in a world that is seized up by fear. We live in a world that is seized up in clinging to worldly possessions. We live in a world that's seized up, blindly holding on to their own agendas. We need more examples of postures of sharing. Because sometimes sharing is the difference between life and death. For the widow of Sidon, sharing her small gifts helped to save lives. For the prophet, sharing the word of God saved them all from a posture of fear and allowed them to have a posture of deep trust in the God who gives life and peace. We need more testimonies of what it means to live in a posture of sharing when we are surrounded by a world and sometimes the church that operates in a posture of seizing. This relaxed, deep breathing, shoulders down, chin up, chest out, hands open. This posture echoes what the early church was about. When people put their resources together for the common good, we need more testimonies like this so that people can know that the church cares and that we have the power to transform the world. I want to leave you with my own testimony of watching communities stand in a posture of sharing. It's the story of God mixing up a recipe filled with gratitude and generosity and grand vision. When I was a mission pastor of a suburban congregation, we started an urban and suburban partnership in Southwest Philadelphia, not too far from West Philadelphia, and we called it The Commonplace. It stands to this day, and it's an arts education nonprofit that works with students and families for education and faith formation and social service support. The suburban church raised $3.2 million and put 1.5 of it in building renovations and programming. We dreamed of redoing the kitchen, and what we raised didn't cover that. This kitchen was in shambles, non-functional. My executive director said, this kitchen's going to take about $350,000, of which we didn't have. One day after church, one of my suburban members came up to me and said, Aisha, I'm part of a foundation, and we want you to come and ask us how we can be a blessing to you all at the Commonplace. Now, that doesn't normally happen. People don't ask you to ask. But I was terrified. Anytime I had to ask, I called it the Pumps and Pearls tour. So I wore a little black dress. I didn't have these sneakers on. I wore my little pumps and had some pearls on. So I went down to the hoity-toity place in Center City, Philly, and I had my PowerPoint and my pumps and pearls and doing all the things and da-da-da-da and the stats and all that stuff, right? And then somebody in the group said, Aisha, what are you passionate about? What could you see happening in this space? And without even thinking, I said, the kitchen. If you guys could do something and help us with this kitchen, I just know that there would be like so much life and we could do education around nutrition and feed families and the school next door can have their lunch there. Like, I just know that something could happen. The gentleman said, listen, was he escorted me out after my presentation. He said, you know, we usually give about $20,000 for stuff like this, but I'll call you. He called me back a week later and said, listen, we really prayed about this and thought about this. We want to give you all $50,000 and another $25,000 if you can get someone to match that, to get you to this $100,000 that you're trying to get to. I was like, all right. I'm thinking that'll probably take another like 3 years, but that sounds great. That weekend, we told that story, and a donor said, I've got that $25,000 to get us to $100,000. And then I told that story to somebody else at church the next week, and they said, well, I've got another $25,000. Now, I'm not a big math person, but I was like, wait a minute, $50,000 and the $25,000 and the other $25,000, another. That's like $125,000. Like, we're on our way. We're halfway there and almost to this kitchen. Months later, we did a Commonplace Sunday, and another donor came up and said, I want to give to that. And then at my husband's funeral in May of this year, in lieu of flowers, we said, if you want to give to the Commonplace or even to Memorial Drive Ministries here in this presbytery, please do so. About a month ago, around the fifth anniversary of the Commonplace birth, I got two things. I received a video of a complete state-of-the-art kitchen. Beautiful. I also got another logo with my late husband's image and the words that said Carl's Kitchen, and they're naming it in honor of him. Ask, share, live, repeat. This is the invitation that God has for us. This is the kind of God that we serve, where God will pull together people and gifts and resources to do amazing things so that people can live. If you haven't figured it out, the 4 points of this sermon are ask, share, live, repeat. If you want to participate, I want to encourage you to first ask God how you can be a blessing with your time and your talent and your treasure, even if it's with fear and trembling. Just ask. Share. Share in small ways and in grand ways. We bought a house in Decatur, and I said to the Lord, Lord, if you let us have this little bit of house with a lot of taxes, I said, I will tithe it with time so that people can come and fellowship. And my mother opens up our house to some of our neighbors for coffee, homemade quiche, and little cakes that she made. I had a colleague call me from California say, I got two young guys driving from Ohio to California. Can they stay in your house for a few days? Those guys still text Mama Deb to tell them how she's doing. Share in small ways and in grand ways. There is a freedom in being generous, and there is a joy in giving. And live. Live into the reality that everything that we have is a gift from God, and we've been called to give a portion of it. Live into the call to be stewards of your gifts. Live into the joy as you watch God breathe new life in and through you. And repeat this cycle over and over and over and over. In a world that functions in fear, you have the power to function in freedom. Repeat these steps and encourage people to do the same. Ask, share, live, repeat. Watch these miracles unfold before you. Watch communities get transformed. And may you be filled with deep gratitude as you watch God do above and beyond anything you could ever ask, imagine, wonder, or think. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.